Hello again, and welcome once again to The Medley. I'm your host, Blake Crash Priddle, and it was 54 years ago today that Sesame Street made its television debut. It first aired on NET, the predecessor of PBS, in 1969, and today we are going to be hearing from Allison Bartlett, who played the role of Gina on that iconic kids show. She played the role for almost 30 years, and she's going to tell us the story of how she got that role, and what it was like to be on Sesame Street. Allison, it's good to have you on the show, and I just want to say thank you very much for being a big part of my childhood.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Before we talk about your long-term role on Sesame Street, tell us about your first ever acting gig.
The one I can remember is, I believe I was in first grade. There was a production at my school of Free to Be You and Me. And that's the one I remember. I think I was in first or second grade, and I really loved it. We did William Wants a Doll. And I so thoroughly enjoyed it and felt very at home.
So that role is ultimately what spawned your acting career.
I don't know if it necessarily, spawned my acting career. I was probably wired for as such, from where I lived and the home I grew up in. But it certainly made me realize that I was very comfortable on stage.
Your first on-screen role was the 1985 TV movie called Right to Kill, which is based on a true story. How did that role come about?
I'm trying to remember. That was basically, that was a long time ago. That basically, I had an agent, so by that point, I was working professionally, and I think it just came through. The agent, a breakdown on a listing for the agent, so I went in and auditioned. And I was very young. I was about 13. And that was my first television project, I believe. So, yeah, just I was already with an agent then and got the audition.
I did watch the movie Right to Kill on YouTube, and you played the main character's girlfriend. And
yes.
The movie itself is about, it's a true story about a teenager that killed his abusive father. It's quite a disturbing story,
yes.
But you did a really good job in that movie.
Thank you so much. Yeah, everyone did. That was a beautifully cast movie of the week. It really was. John Erman, I believe, was the director. And it was just beautifully cast. And there was such a respectful, I remember there was a respectful integrity to the production.
Now, I think the role that you're best known for is Gina on Sesame Street. What was the audition process like for your Sesame Street role?
I went to LaGuardia High School, which was right across the street, right across an avenue in New York City from the Sesame Street offices. And where they were holding the auditions. And so in LaGuardia, you were not supposed to be working when you went there during the time that I went there. I believe it's changed since then. But I was working and had this audition. So I cut out of school and I kind of knew the way out a back entrance, and had to kind of sneak through the dumpster area. Again, I'm not suggesting anyone do that. And ran across Broadway to the ASCAP building and auditioned for the show. And I've told the story before, and hopefully if anyone's listening, I don't know if they can get something from it, but I immediately felt out of place, that I didn't belong. I felt all the other girls there looked better than me, sounded better than me, just presented better than me. I was always a little bit awkward in my own self. So I was about to leave and my name got called. And that is really true. They called me in and that was it. I kind of just said, all right, bring what you got. And I did. And, you know, John Stone took to it. And what I had was this non-actor way about me. You know, I was kind of gruffy and, you know, like I said, messy. There was a messiness to me. There still probably is. So, yeah, that's what I brought. And that's what they hired. It was supposed to be a one-day role, just a one-day role as Roscoe Orman's student. And, you know, I stayed there, I believe, something like 28 or 29 years.
And your character, Gina, had a whole bunch of jobs on Sesame Street. You know, first she worked at Hooper's store, and then she ran a daycare, and then she became a vet. She did a lot. What was the best part about playing Gina?
Oh, I absolutely loved playing her. The best part was, you know, growing up with her, evolving with her, watching what some of the original writers allowed her to do and allowed me to portray. So that was really the best part. Just when you play a character for that long, I started when I was 15 and I left, you know, a few years ago. So, you know, just the arc of one's life and decades on screen is phenomenal. And so it was a real privilege to be able to do that.
I can imagine that working with Muppets, it must have been hard to keep a straight face at times because a lot of them were pretty funny. Did anything funny or memorable happen when filming Sesame Street?
I mean, something funny and memorable happened probably every episode, every take. You know, whenever I can say, whenever those originals, the Richard Hunts, Frank Oz, the few times he came in, Gary Nelson, Marty Robinson, who at that point, you know, was almost apprenticing, you know, Richard and Jerry were his mentors, and now he's become such a gloriously successful, talented Muppeteer. But anytime you had those originals, Richard Hunt, Jerry Nelson, you know, Frank Oz, anytime you had them on a set, it was a free-for-all. It was just a free-for-all. Kevin Clash, you know, the original Elmo, it was a free-for-all. So it was very hard to make it through a take sometimes. And a lot of times we didn't. You know, a lot of times we just didn't. If there were scenes with Telly, whenever I was working with Marty Robinson and the character of Telly, it was very, very difficult to get through. Because of how natural and frenetic and hysterical he did that character. So, yeah, it was very hard. There was always something memorable happening. That, you know, the between the writing and the talent, it was, you never knew what to expect.
The thing that I remember quite fondly is the 50th anniversary celebration. You made a cameo on that, and you got to meet the newest Muppet, Julia, who's autistic, and you tried to convince her to join the party and gave her a pair of headphones so that she wouldn't find it too loud. That was really nice, and that means a lot to me coming from an autistic person, and it was cool to see you and Julia interact.
Thank you. That really means a lot to me to hear that. And I was really, I was very grateful that they put me with that character on the 50th episode. You know, they could have, I had no idea. We got the script. I had no input into that. So I was very happy to have been able to work with that Muppet because I had not before and have not since, but it allows for a real truth to be presented on the show by both Muppet and actor and writing. So I really appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
Another Gina moment that I really liked was the time where Gina and Savion, you know, taught Telly about racism after they received a racist phone call in Hooper's store, you know, about how wrong it is. And,
you know, and that everybody should be treated equally regardless of race or religion or anything like that. And I like how you pretended to get revenge on the guy by picking up the phone and then blowing a raspberry into it. Remember that?
A raspberry. Oh, God. I remember that. Yeah, as if it were yesterday. And that show was written by John Stone, I believe. He certainly directed it. Yes, that was a beautifully produced and directed show episode. It really was. There was such care and humor. The fact that you know, John could write humor in such a topic and compassion, it was great. It was, I'm so glad that I got to do that with Savion. It's a very memorable show. Episodes.
Yeah, and Savion is a real-life tap dancer, professional tap dancer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, brilliant, magnificent, one of a kind.
I saw
is now.
Yeah, I saw his performance quite a few times on Sesame Street. He makes it look easy. I don't think I could ever do that.
Oh, God, me neither. He would sit there just, you know, we'd be in the green room sometimes. And I have a distinct memory of him just tapping he was just always tapping, whether it was his hands, his feet, his legs. There was a rhythm inside him that you could tell and nobody messed with. Just nobody messed with. It was ever present.
So you were on Sesame Street for, I believe, almost 30 years. And then after that, you decided to move on. Did you decide to move on because you wanted to try other things? Or was there a different reason why you left?
I had always kept doing other things I made a point to do pretty early on. Hence The Sopranos, when there was a whole, you know, to do about that. Because of the dichotomy of being on Sesame Street and then being on The Sopranos. So I had always kept myself open to other things because I love acting, I love writing, I love directing, I love character work. The show was transitioning when I left. The show was transitioning with new Muppets and new cast members and phasing out some of the old original cast members. So I just felt it was sort of a very peaceful, simple time to go. There was no drama to it whatsoever. It was literally such a nod of gratitude and, you know, just time to end that chapter in a way.
You had talked about the Muppeteers that you got to work with, including Kevin Clash and many others. But Carol Spinney, who played Oscar and Big Bird, I hear, was an amazingly talented person. What was it like working with Carol Spinney? Because there was a whole documentary made about his life, and I absolutely loved it and found it very inspiring.
Yeah, I can absolutely say that Carol Spinney, years and years and years, I got to work with him. I grew up with him. And watching his talent and watching his relationship with his wife, Deb, you know, I've joked. I mean, everyone who's close to me knows this. I've often said, you know, even relationships in my life have said, what you want doesn't exist, Al. It just doesn't exist. And I have confidently declared, yes, it does. Yes, it does. With Carol Spinney and Deb, yes, it does. Their relationship. I know he was Big Bird and I know he was Oscar. There was something about watching he and Deb navigate this world together on the set as well while he was doing these characters is something you really had to witness. There was a love and a respect there. Now to talk about his genius as a Muppeteer and a performer, that just speaks for itself. the essence of that yellow bird, that 6 foot yellow bird or 7 foot yellow bird, with the opposite, that yellow, kind, generous, curious bird opposing Oscar the Grouch, negative, grumpy, glass half empty, for a performer to be able to do that the way he did it, and other characters as well, but those are the ones that he just were his soul, I believe. And that's with all of us, right? We all carry bits of everything in all of us. And that's what was so glorious about what he did. And he did it effortlessly. So working with him and really getting to know him as a fellow actor, fellow performer, a friend, a mentor, a father figure, how to navigate relationships, because his and Deb's were the ones that I, were the one that I watched. I mean, it really is a big joke. Yes, I have. I've seen it. Who? Big Bird and his wife, you know? I mean, that's kind of how I feel. And I never feel Carol's that far away, whether it be with classic Sesame Street or the teachings he taught me. I never feel he's that far away.
Yeah. As long as people leave behind a positive legacy, no one has ever really gone forever. That's the way that I look at someone that's passed on. That's when I think of my grandparents that passed on, I think about the legacy that they left behind, and Carol O'Connor, Jim Henson, all the Muppeteers that are no longer with us, you know, left behind a legacy that still lives today. And it must be an incredible feeling to have been a part of all of that.
It is. And I agree with you. There is an eternal essence when someone passes and transitions that doesn't go away. It almost sometimes feels closer to the heart, if that makes any sense, at least with me. So when you bring up Carol Spinney and Richard Hunt and John Stone and just people we've loved, yes, to have been privileged to be a part of that love and legacy and laughter, just because they're not here in physical body, sure, it sits in a place within me that's eternal. It really does. And you said that beautifully, so thank you.
You had talked about being on The Sopranos before. That's a show that my dad used to watch quite a bit. What was it like working with the star, James Gandolfini?
So I only had one small working with Gandolfini. Most of my work was with the incredible Steve Buscemi. I played his girlfriend. What I was able to do when working, I did two episodes of the show, was, you know, observe and witness James Gandolfini, because he would be on the set on the same days where I was working. And there was a real stance to him that I remembered just watching. He walked on the set and there was a grace and a stance to him that I can see right now. Very generous, very, to me, you know, very welcoming. So I didn't really get to do scenes with him, actor to actor, but I was able to observe, which you do. If you were lucky enough to be on the set of The Sopranos, a lot of time you just stood and watched. When I wasn't working, I was certainly an audience and an observer to what was going on that set. And it was a very sanctified, intense, professional set. It's one of the most professional serious for me sets I personally have ever worked on. Now, again, I was such a guest, right? So I'm sure anyone there who was a regular would probably say differently. And they had, just like I talk about Sesame Street, they had all of their less. But for me, witnessing the two episodes I did, you know, it almost felt like you were in a master class of sorts.
Was playing Gina your favorite acting role, or did you have another acting role that you preferred?
Oh, I've had so many. Paul Simon once said, you know, what's his favorite song? And he's like, it's like your children. You can't really pick a favorite. I've had many favorite. I mean, Gina was certainly had the most longevity to any role I've done. Probably was the most like me from what people would see on the screen. But I've had many. I loved doing the show Rescue Me, although I don't even know if that show could get done now. But I loved there was a character I did on that show. I loved a lot of the roles I've done. You almost have to kind of fall in love with the roles you're doing. In a way, you have to sort of fall in love with the character you're doing at the time you're doing it. It makes it a lot easier to get through the day. If you start to know it deeply and almost be in love with it, good, evil, whatever it is, because then there's a knowingness to portraying the character that makes it a lot easier. So I certainly loved, to answer your question, I loved playing Gina, along with many other roles. I couldn't really say I had a favorite.
What kind of projects have you been working on recently?
Oh, thank you for asking. I would say about 10 years ago, I mean, I went to school for writing, you know, but I just was working and supporting myself for most of my young career. So I didn't really have the opportunity to, I had to take jobs, you know, that were given. I stayed on Sesame Street, you know, for the insurance benefits and for paychecks. You do that as an actor. But about 10 years ago, I really started to desire strongly to do my own projects, all encompassing. If one can do it, great. And that meant writing them, acting in them, directing in them, producing them, directing them, producing them, casting them. I just had this pull towards that. So, and that pull really started, you know, tugging about 10 years ago. And so certainly the last 5 years, I've shifted more to writing, producing, and directing. The last 3 years have been directing documentaries on humanistic leadership. Because if we don't change this capitalistic leadership aspect of how we are leading corporations, well, we see what's happened, right? So I've been doing documentaries on corporations that are really leading from a humanistic perspective. And I'm really focusing on that. I think this next year is, I'm going to focus on that. And also I'm writing two big projects that will take me overseas and whatever. You got to go where the pull is.
Allison, it was an immense pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so very much for your time. I know that you probably have a busy schedule, but it was great to have you on the show. And hopefully we'll get to see you on the Sesame Street 60th anniversary special. That would be awesome.
That would be wonderful. And Blake, thank you for doing what you do and how you do it. Thank you for including me in your artistry. I mean that. And it was really a pleasure meeting you. I hope we can do this again.
For sure. One last question before we wrap up. Absolutely. Are you on social media? Can people keep up to date with you that way?
Absolutely. It's Allison Bartlett One. I'm on Instagram. I have a love-hate relationship with social media. That's a whole other conversation, Blake, that I'm happy to have it another time. But I do use it for work purposes, and I do use it for good as best as possible. So it's Allison Bartlett One on Instagram. Haven't gotten to my Facebook yet. People say I'm on there. My one friend says, "You have no friends." It says Allison Bartlett has, or I get requests, but then I, so anyway, it's better to contact me through Instagram. I hope you do, because then I can follow you as well. Are you on social media, Blake?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the Medley great, podcast great. Is for this one.
So great. Wonderful. Send, so we will know.
Email the link a little bit later. But again, Allison, thanks again, and all the best going forward.
Same to you. And let's speak again. And thank you again. Congratulations on this beautiful work you do. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this week's interview with Allison Bartlett. If you'd like to suggest people to feature on the Medley in the future, don't hesitate to contact me. Just go to my website, blakecrashpriddle.com. Until next time, remember, here at the Medley, we're all kinds of different.